Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Imagine you are plugging along in life, living every day to its fullest, and then all of a sudden you get word that something in your life has changed, and it's going to change the trajectory and the way in which you function in life for a long time, if not forever. That is our guest, my friend, Ann McCauley Lopez, who has an incredible story to share, not only about her business life, but also her personal life and her journey with leukemia. Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, Ann. We are happy to have you back today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. It's an honor to be back.
It's been a while. So Ann is with us here in the Metro Phoenix area. We're broadcasting live from the MAC 6 Entrepreneur Center. This is Phoenix Business Radio, where we help businesses and connect you with the right people. And I'm Karen Nowicki. And I am very excited, like I said, to mention that we have Ann with us today. She is a blogging badass, an agency content writer, and now the author. I think it's your first book, right?
It is.
I say first, meaning I know there's more to come. And even though you and I have gotten to know each other, I want to give a shout out to Suzanne Jameson as well, who said, hey, I think you ought to have Ann back on. So shout out to Suzanne and all the great work she does on behalf of her clients and friends. So let's talk a little bit about who is Ann McCauley Lopez. We have up to an hour, so don't be shy. Just give us the introduction and then we'll go from there.
Sure. I'm a writer, first of all. I'm also a wife and a stepmom and a dog lover and a wine lover and a business owner. In 2016, I got married in March, and in July, I was actually diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia. When folks say, well, did you know? Did you have symptoms? Looking back, I did. You know, I was tired, but I was running a business. We got engaged and planned a wedding and a vow renewal in 9 months. So you'd think, well, I'm just tired from doing all the things, right? But that wasn't the case.
So you get this news, you're newly married, life is going along well. What do you do then? How do you move forward?
So in terms of, do you mean in terms of kind of the health side of things, the medical side, or
yes, right?
All the things.
Because we've had a conversation both off air and on air before about this. You had to kind of regroup and pull back a little bit, right? So I think it is all the things. So feel free to just speak. Like you get this diagnosis, and then what do you do? And you don't have to give away all the goods, because I'm sure quite a bit of this story is in the book, and this is the book, I suppose, but I'm just curious from our listeners' perspective. You know, I've been through a tragic situation and I couldn't stop living. I couldn't stop my business or stop caring for my kids and my family. You have to go on. And I had to learn how to be better about self-care. So what's your story? How did you make your way through?
That's the end of the story, right? We have to take care of ourselves in whatever way that means to us. For me, we talked about a lot of things, Eddie and I. We talked about, you know, what happens if ... if I'm really, really sick, what do we do? If it's chronic, what do we do? And it turned out it was chronic. I've taken a chemo pill every day since mid-August 2017. And that's the treatment. That's the standard treatment for chronic myeloid leukemia. It is chronic. We have it until there's a better option or cure. I talk about in the book, there are patients that come off their medicine. But there's about a 50% rate of the disease, like it becoming active again, the cancer becoming active again, relapse. I lost my words. Mm-hmm. They're all in the book.
Yeah.
So my husband and I have decided to take it conservatively along with my doctors, and I stay the course. There's a little testimonial from one of my friends who has gone off the medication. It's called treatment-free remission, or TFR. There's some pros and cons to that as well. So for me, we've stayed the course. Probably for the first year, I really struggled with the side effects of going on the medication. It got to be almost a joke of every day. It was like, well, what's happening? Is it GI? Is it a headache? Is it you couldn't sleep last night or you slept too much? Or, oh, what else? Brain fog, fatigue, you know, all the things, bone pain, muscle pain, all of it. Like I say in the insert that comes with your medicine, you know, it's a long list.
Pick which one.
We probably touched on about 90% of them at one point or another in that first year. So I really had to figure out, what do I do? What do I do with my business? Can I write? I made the decision to send a friend an email. She's an attorney, and ended up for the last 2.5 years. I'm kind of winding up there. But for the last 2.5 years, I've been working for a local estate planning attorney part-time, just kind of figuring out, what do I do with my business? I wanted to feel as I felt better. I wanted to feel like I was contributing to society, to my family, and all of that. And that really gave me the opportunity. And it was really great because I got to help her grow her practice
in a great way.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. It's grown. We have a new space. We have a whole team now. It was just me and her. And I would do it again. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. But you know, when it really comes to it, my passion is writing. When you get a diagnosis like this, you think about, what can you do? What are you capable of doing? And maybe it's nothing, and that's okay. Maybe it is getting a part-time job while you just kind of nurse your business along a little bit, which is what I chose, or you shut down the business, which we absolutely have talked about. I'm glad I didn't. I look back and say, oh, I should have for a little while. And I just kind of kept it going a little. And once I was ready to get back into writing fully, I let my VIPs know. And I said, listen, here's what's going on. Here's what I'm doing. I did some networking through the pandemic, through the meat of the pandemic in 2020, and ended up with connections like to you, Karen, where I'm able to go back and say, hey, here's what I'm doing. And not only is the business going, but I've written this book about my experience. So it's been a wild road.
and a busy one, right?
Yes. Yes.
So why write the book? What was the catalyst, and why'd you decide to go for it?
Oh, it's a great question. Thank you. What I saw and what I heard from other CML patients were a lot of the same questions. Do you go off the drug? How do you handle bone and muscle pain? What do you do with all these side effects? My oncologist isn't really doing what I think they should be doing. What do I do? My oncologist is telling me, well, if you don't like the side effects of this drug, go to the next drug. Well, we only have 5 drugs available to us. Well, one just got approved. So I think we have 6 now. And, you know, what do we do? I got absolutely exhausted of seeing the same questions, giving the same answers. I would turn off those groups because it was just too much. It was like, why isn't the information getting to the patients? We're all having a very common experience. And the thing is with CML patients is it's a common experience. We're not like other cancer patients. So the name of the book is We Don't Get to Ring the Bell, My CML Story. And the reason for that is when cancer patients who get drip chemo, I call it, you know, you get it in an IV, when they finish their last treatment, they get to ring a literal bell to be like, woohoo, I'm done. Like I go get a scan in 6 months or 3 months or whatever their protocol is for their type of cancer. But for just that little while, they're done and they get to ring the bell. CML patients, we don't get to ring that bell. And so there's a feeling of frustration. You know, my friend had this cancer. She got to ring the bell and she's fine. She doesn't have to worry. What I've learned along the way is, of course, they still worry, just like we worry. And we all have a different experience. For CML patients, it's different because we're not going to get those infusions at the oncologist's office, right? Sometimes we're not even going to the right doctor. You know, a general oncologist versus a hematologist, a blood doctor for a blood cancer could be a different experience. So I wanted to write the book to answer all those questions based on my experience. Mm-hmm. And throughout the book, I say things like, I'm not a doctor. This is what my doctor told me.
But I'm like you. I had the same questions. I had the same frustrations and the same fears and the same aches and pains and was frustrated by the process. And I think it's beautiful, a beautiful share for people and a resource to go to. What was it like to write your first book? I mean, as a writer yourself, right, and who has a lot of great traction in the industry as an excellent content writer, a book, what's that like?
Terrifying. I thought of it as a project. And I think at some points I thought about myself as my own client. So I created time on my calendar for this project and I brought in team members, people that I've known over the years to help me along the way. So Christine of Loopy Docs, L-U-P-I Docs, is the editor for this book.
She's two doors down right now at the Alliances meeting. That's awesome. Right now.
Yeah. And I will be on her show on Thursday, actually.
Oh, good.
So she has a radio show. She's also an editor and she's been a friend. And I never met her in real life for a year. I've known her like 5 years, I think. We had to dig back into the email archive. And she's like, how did we meet? And I go, I'm just going to look up your name in my email. I save them all. We had worked on a project together with a client that we had in common. And they said, oh, if you need a technical writer, go to Christine. And she said, oh, I also do editing if you ever need that. So we put a project plan together. She has a really great program for writers. We set expectations. I think she was nervous about working with a writer. I was nervous about letting someone edit my writing. And we came to a place where we really worked well together. We asked a lot of questions, just like in any relationship, right? Like if you're not sure, you ask a lot of questions and you clarify the communication. And I think our styles worked well together for the project. So in that sense, it was organized. It came to a point where I looked at her and she said, what's going on? I had written, I don't know, about 10,000 words. And she said, what's going on? And I said, one, I hate it. And two, I'm having a really hard time moving forward. She said, what's the holdup? So I'm a writer. I write blog posts. So I write 500 to 1,000 words at a time. She's like, okay. She says, well, these chapters are a couple of blog posts each. So let's call them, and I go, articles. They're articles. The longer form, I call it articles. She's like, all right, well, let's write the next article. And I wrote that book so fast.
Just that mind shift change.
Yes. Yes.
Great coaching.
It's wild what happens when you change your mindset. You think, well, this is a smaller, it's just little projects, 12 little projects.
I could do that.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Right? If somebody said, Karen, put together a 24-hour radio show, you'd be like, oh, then you break it up. Hour show, right? Like yeah. It's that kind of, I'm just going to do 24 shows all in a row. Okay. It's scary, but it would, we could do it.
I love it. And so who else is on your team?
The other professional person is Caitlin Penny. Yes. And I think you might know Caitlin. Yes. And she designed the book cover. I had an idea in mind, but I'm a writer, not a designer. And I wish that I could. I should have grabbed the piece of paper. It looks like I did a design, and I use that term very loosely. And it kind of looked like an arm and a flower. And she's like, what? You're going to have to walk me through this. She was very nice.
What is this?
Here it is. And I said, oh, it's an arm ringing a bell. She goes, oh, I can see it now. It was very gracious. It was a terrible drawing.
But then she could put it to life, to something that everybody would see and quickly connect with.
She did. I said, make the same colors as a website. So it all kind of goes together. I'm not creating a new brand. It's still me, but I want a separate place for this. And she did. And once we had that together, I actually have my web guy, Charles, who created the landing page for the book, mycmlstory.com. And really, he's amazing. I send him emails and like random ideas. He's like, yeah, I got it. And he does it. Wild. So I'm very blessed to have all of those talented folks on the team. Of course, I give a shout out to my husband, because without his support, So much of the story would be different, including the writing of the book, right? We know we need our community around us, especially those we hold near and dear. And that's been amazing. One little surprise that I haven't mentioned to many people yet, but I will today, is that my husband actually wrote the foreword to the book.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. So he...
Have you seen it yet? You've read it?
I have. he wrote his kind of looking in on the situation and being in the situation, you know, and gave some tips for caregivers.
What a wonderful way for him to get involved. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good. I feel like it was full circle once we did that. And of course, my dog Stanley was here the whole time being a terrible intern, like always.
Right before you went live, Ann wanted to chew him out of the room. I'm like, no, keep him in there. He's your partner. Yeah. Love it.
He is my terrible intern.
So good. So it's just about finished. I think you're shooting for 15th of December.
We are. It should be Kindle version should be available the 15th, and hard copy should be available by Christmas. On that landing page, we'll post it, and all over social media and all the places, we'll get the link posted, the Amazon link posted.
Good. And we'll have it as well. So the book, if I'm hearing you correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, is for anybody who is walking a similar path, specifically for leukemia and CML, or really do you find that there's the caregivers like your husband? Tell us a little bit about who it's targeted for. I mean, it's clear to me, but am I forgetting anybody in there?
Oh, that's a lot of folks that I've included. I think too, if you've got chronic illness, basically, after we got through that first year, I treat it as chronic illness. So there's times when I have to rest. I have to listen to my body. We have to switch up maybe the supplements that I'm taking or what time I'm waking up and going to bed, all the things that make us healthy, all the self-care tasks that we can do, I talk about in the book. It is originally what I had said was I want it to be a book so that when someone is diagnosed with CML, it can be handed to them and their caregiver, and it can be a resource. It can answer all the questions that all those people are asking on social media. Maybe not all, but a lot of them, at least in my experience, give them a starting point. And then they can, you know, kind of know what to ask their doctor. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's kind of this partner by their side. Even if they have people in their life, they don't have the answers either. But here's somebody that can come alongside them and anticipate the emotion around it, as I know you speak candidly about that. In addition to the decisions that you have to make and where you go for resources, that's fantastic. Can we go back for a second and talk about chronic illness and the comparison for our listeners? How, just loosely even, how do you define chronic illness? And then why have you made that decision to say that, you know, this, I treat it as it's this?
For me, chronic illness is something that makes your body kind of makes you mad at your body, frankly. You know, it doesn't work to its optimal. Now I'm not 30 years old training for the 60 miles of the Susan G. Komen 3-day walk, right? Like, okay, but I'm not 68 years old, I'm 48. So there's a certain level that I think my body should be able to do, right? I should be able to make it through the day without a nap in that sort of activity. Yeah. But with a chronic illness, I need to step back and some days assess, how do I feel? And even beyond, oh my, okay, I want to get this done. If I need to rest, I just have to do it. That's probably the biggest piece now. Since we got through all of it, we've managed through the side effects. I've got really good protocols, really good things that I do. Basically, that's what I consider the protocols. And care with not only with a hematologist oncologist, but for me, I also work with a naturopath. And that's been really helpful over the years, even before this diagnosis, because I know my body reacts really well to those treatments. So for me, it works. Other folks might make a different decision, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to treat that pain so that I could move beyond it and not be a person in chronic pain, a person who always had something. So for me, it's really just kind of managing my energy. And an interesting thing is I was researching the book. There's a doctor, Kendra Sweet, at Moffitt Medical Center in Florida. She has studied CML patients. And she said the common thread was that we all said we had fatigue. It didn't matter what our age was, mm-hmm. or when we were diagnosed or which medication we were on. So she did an experiment and she said, okay, let's try just going out for a little walk. And when you're in horrible, horrible pain, right? You don't feel like doing that. When you're having GI issues, you want to get the mail and come back, right?
Right.
That's what it is. Like, let's be real. That's what happens sometimes. She encouraged us. She said, you know, get the other things in order, but then just try, walk around your house, take some steps, do a little bit each day and keep growing on that. And even with like a 30-minute walk, which I think is what they recommend on most days just to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Even just a 30-minute walk or some yoga or meditation, whatever it is, move your body. And what she found was that the fatigue was less. So it sounds counterintuitive. Move and have less fatigue. Imagine. But that's really, we don't know why. She's like, I'm not even sure why. But for the patients across the board, no matter what the age or medication, any of the things that were measured, everybody did better with a little bit of exercise. So I've got my dog Stanley and we go for walks. And sometimes it's a little walk here and a little walk there. And sometimes it's a longer walk, but it does, I do find that it makes me feel better. And being in the sunshine, right? Like we're in Arizona, it's sunny all the time. That helps as well. And I think for anybody, you feel better.
Yep. And just little bit at a time, right? I think what I'm hearing underneath all of that is letting what you can do on some days, that's enough. It doesn't have to be more than that, right? It's not the marathon. It's not the climbing a mountain. Maybe it's just getting to the base of the mountain, saying that's it for today, but getting up and being mobile and staying in your body. Yeah. Fantastic.
Some days I feel like a superhero. So I climb the mountain and those are great days. Those are great days because you realize over time you can push a little bit, and I've kind of found I can push a little more. And then when I hit the wall, I'm like, oh, that, like Thanksgiving, we had, you know, family and cooking and all the things. And by Sunday of that weekend, I was like, I can't move. Like, it was like the worst hangover and I wasn't even hungover.
Yeah. And again, that comparison to chronic illness, there's just days that you can do more and there's days that you have to do less. I think more and more, especially since COVID hit, we all are starting to take a look at how do I use my body as a barometer for how I feel, right? And listen to that instead of going to this extreme and then having health issues, that sort of thing. The other thing with chronic illness, would it be safe to say that, like with your diagnosis with CML, that it's not visible. You can't see it, right? I mean, it's, you know, and it's just one of those, I think there's a term for that, right? The silent illness or something like that, where people don't see that. And so you have to really become an advocate for yourself to say, you know, hey, not today, and not worry about how that appears to anybody else. Am I speaking out of turn or does that resonate?
That resonates. That absolutely resonates. I would say it's one of the frustrations too for CML patients that we talk about is, you know, you go into your boss's office and you say, I don't feel good. I'm exhausted. I've got leukemia. And they're like, no,
I don't see it. Yeah.
You don't look sick. Just go back to your, not mine.
Yeah.
But right. I've heard stories of people. just put that little asterisk up there. And, you know, you go anywhere and you're like, whew, I'm tired and I have trouble walking or something. And, you know, you're kind of holding on and you don't look like you should need to go in the, I call it the slow lane, you know, ASU, Arizona State has those steps to get into the football stadium. And I'm like, I go in all the way to the right. That's me going up the stairs. If you ever see me, I call it the slow lane. I'm like, listen, I'm in the slow lane. Everybody go slow behind me.
Yep. You know? And again, going back to the way in which you talk to yourself, like that's gotta be okay. Right. We're fighting against ourselves. If we're making that something that we have to feel awful about, it's reality. It just is. Yeah.
It's the self-talk. I had my naturopath that I'd had for years. She was the one who ran the blood work and discovered that something was off, sent me to the hematologist. And she said to me at one point at the very beginning, I kept saying, well, we're killing cancer cells. And she gets up from her desk. I'm like, oh boy, I'm in trouble. Uh-oh. She comes around the desk. She goes, Ann, this is going to be weird for me to say and weird for you to hear, but I need you. And she pauses and I go, what is happening? I need you to use different words. And I said, that is my gig. That's not your gig. And she's like, no, she said, I want you to use different words. She said, I hear you say you're killing cancer cells. Let's instead say we're supporting your immune system. We're supporting the part of your body that's getting well. And I thought, I mean, of course, being my nature, I was resistant at first. I say I'm a reasonably compliant patient. And then I thought, well, gosh, let me just try it. Everything else she's ever told me and taught me has worked. And I did. And really, it was pretty soon after that that leukemia became undetectable. Wow. And I thought, my gosh, I always believed there was a connection, but I feel like I'm like the living embodiment of mind, body, spirit connection. There was a lot of prayer. There continues to be a lot of prayer, apparently around the globe from what my dad tells me. And that mindset of, yes, it's frustrating. Yes, you have to take a nap if you're going to go out to a dinner on a Friday night after a very long week. But then you can go and enjoy yourself. Yes, there's probably more work to get done. Yes, the dog didn't get his long walk, but nothing fell apart. Like, that's another thing is I looked back as I was writing the book and I thought, nothing fell apart. The bills got paid, maybe late. That's okay. The dog did get walked, even if it meant hiring somebody. Nothing, we didn't get kicked out anywhere. It's all okay. And I think once I started treating myself more gently, it made a huge difference in my health and my business, apparently, because that's blown up too. I got the book done.
Yeah, right. And that's a lot to accomplish, to be of service to others, not only through your own journey and the book, but also the content writing that you do, right? You're doing it for others. So congratulations. I mean, it's just incredible. Yeah. And I can't remember when you were on with us, but I feel like the book was already an idea. It was a seed. I can't recall if you had started writing it already or not, but here we are. I just am so excited for you.
I think it was an idea. Maybe we had done the outline. It was October. Christine reminded me it was October.
So it's been a year. Over a year.
Yeah. I came up with this crazy idea. The great part is once you do something that's scary, when you go to do it again, like I already have an idea for the next book, to your point.
I knew when I say first book, I typically know that that means, especially with obviously the writer running through your veins. Do you know what the next book is about? Are you ready to share? Is that going to be a secret?
I do. No, I'm pretty solid. I started working on the outline too. As soon as I handed off this book to Christine, already? She's like, you got to slow down.
That's awesome.
Yes, this book is actually be more on the business side of things. One of the other things I found is I really love talking to new writers and mentoring writers through a situation, or they have a question, or how do I get started? And again, it's really those common questions that people ask. And I thought, well, gosh, I just did this for a CML book. Why don't I write a book for freelance writers? How do you get started? How do you get and keep clients? How do you make it? You know, it's been 11 years for me. You know, how did that happen? I don't know. I have no good idea. No, I have some ideas. But it's about answering those most commonly asked questions again in this book. Now that I've got the formula for something that works, I keep repeating it, right? Like starting a radio show seems very intimidating to me. But once you do it, right? Like there's certain steps you take and you hire some people and you go, okay, here's the system.
We're doing it.
And, you know, it can change over time, but it's kind of on repeat. So I'm going to do that for a book. I do it with blogging and it's all, it's an amazing experience.
So good. Tell us where you are in your journey with leukemia then. You're feeling good. You're still taking the chemo pill. That's going to be protocol for at least a while. Where are you at? Yeah.
Thank you for asking. We are excited. I say my husband and I, because we're a team. We are excited to say that my leukemia has been undetectable for nearly 4 years, which is amazing. And for the last about year and a half, my blood counts as a whole have been normal, boring, normal blood work. Which we never thought we would see again.
Yeah.
I tell people, go get your boring blood work done, because apparently it tells your doctors a lot about what's going on in your body, more than I ever even thought. And that's that's how the CMO was found. So now it's really just staying the course, doing, you know, I literally walk into the oncologist's office with the blood work. We look at the blood work together and she says, that's great. Do or don't do whatever you're doing or not doing. And we'll see you in 4 months.
That's great though. Live your life, live your life and we'll check in again.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And you have been committed to your protocol. You know what works. So you're staying with it. That's the gift to yourself is what I continue to hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to your body.
Yep.
Listen to what your body wants. It might not want exactly what you've got in your pill box and that's okay. You know, and I always say work with your doctors and your, you know, naturopathic doctors, your regular old PAs and, you know, everybody on your team. That's so important.
Yeah. Good. So you mentioned the book on Kindle is coming out around the 15th of December. Mm-hmm. And then the book will be the actual hard copy will be ready by Christmas or available by Christmas. And your website for the book, remind me again, the landing page.
MyCMLStory.com.
And the name of the book is?
We Don't Get to Ring the Bell. My CML Story.
I love the name of the book. I can't wait to see the cover as well. And your website for writing is agencycontentwriter.com. Is that right?
Yes,
and then where on social media, if our listeners are wanting to, of course, buy the book and follow you, where do they find you?
Sure. LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn and there is a Facebook page for me. Just look up my name, SEO writer and author, I think is what it is. I don't know. I got to switch it up now that I'm an author. But I do have that page. The links are on my website, Agency Content Writer. And that's where folks can find me. Yeah.
Good. Anything I hadn't thought to ask that you thought this morning, gosh, when I'm with Karen, this is what I want to make sure we cover. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you want to make sure our listeners are aware of?
No, I think one of the things I wrote about, and you said, you know, just live your life are the trips that Eddie and I took and kind of the progression of those. One of the things that happened about, let me think, I was diagnosed July in March. So however many months it is, 8 months. After I was diagnosed, my nephew was born. He was my first niece or nephew. And I felt physically so bad. And my immune system was not where I could travel. It was really not ideal for me to do that. I didn't actually meet him until the weekend of his first birthday, which breaks my heart, but that's how it happened. Now my nephew is completely obsessed with my husband. We've seen him many, many times. He now has a little sister who I saw just 3 weeks. We met her just 3 weeks after she was born. And we've seen them quite a lot last year. Obviously 2020 was tough, but at Christmas time, my dad's like, you're coming home, right? Wear all the masks, do all the things. And we did. And we took probably extreme precautions, but we knew we didn't want to get anybody sick, especially the littles. That first trip for his first birthday was actually the first time that I traveled alone since my diagnosis. We kind of built in nap time, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I scheduled lunches because I was like, there's nobody going to breakfast in over here. Yeah. Stayed with my brother and sister-in-law, really kind of took it easy and just kind of wanted to gauge how did I feel after I flew across the country? How, you know, because it takes a little bit. I don't know if you experience this too, when you fly all those hours, your body's tired. Like even for regular folks who are super healthy, you've got to stay hydrated at least. I was flying with a mask before it was cool. That was interesting. So it's funny to me now to go to the airport and everybody has masks on. I'm like,
yeah,
what are y'all doing?
This was my thing.
Yeah. What are you doing?
So could you share a little bit about the travel and family relationships in the book as well?
Yes, yeah. I do. It's so important. It's so important. And my dad especially has supported us. He's absolutely on the team. We called him after every appointment. Some stand out more than others. The call where we said, we don't know what this is, but my blood counts are really off. He was like, well, what is it? We had lost my mom actually 26 years ago today. And that's also why I scheduled today. I said, I want to be busy, but I also feel like this is a little bit of, you know, if I'm going to dedicate this
yes.
radio show today to anybody, it would be to my mom. She was 46 years old. She had had breast cancer just 22 months since diagnosis, fought a hard fight. She passed away 26 years ago today. So my dad, my brothers, everybody was terrified. They're like, we hate cancer in our family to begin with. And so I could hear in my dad's voice and it absolutely broke my heart. So every doctor's appointment, we call him. And now he's like, I'm at work. I got to go. What, you got everything good? Okay. Yeah. No, undetectable. Okay. Yeah. Just do what you're doing. Okay. Bye. You know, like it's just quick, but I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx the good health. I don't want to jinx my dad being involved, you know, like,
and nor does he.
I'm very suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. And plans for the holiday. What are you doing for the holiday coming up?
My dad demands that we come home. So we do. No, he doesn't demand, but he goes, you know, I really like it. So we built our own, we built our own tradition. We go to dinner on Christmas Eve as a family and we all get dressed up and kids open their gifts Christmas morning, you know, Santa. And we will do a dinner, you know, like lunch, dinner all together.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice kind of easy Christmas all together. They're all back east. So we'll be going to Connecticut. And we'll make a stop in New York City because I've got to see that Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center.
And hopefully you'll have book in hand and take a picture in front of it. And you'll be signing books while you're there, I hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Well, this has been a pleasure to reconnect with you. I'm so excited that the book is just about to be here. And I have no doubt Thank that it's you. Going to make a huge difference in the life of folks who are dealing with CML, their caregivers, and of course, their providers as well. It just, it sounds like a magical gift for somebody, not only to themselves or somebody who is a loved one dealing with this. And then I love that you said too, that when there's a provider at meeting with someone, they can say, hey, you know, this is what you're going to be dealing with. Here's this woman's story and here's our gift to you. I can see that happening in doctor's offices all across the country. So thank you again for sharing yourself in the way that you have, and we'll have you back on when you have your next book written as well around content writing and being a freelancer as well. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio broadcasting right here at the Max 6 Entrepreneur Center in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lead in business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki. Thanks for listening.